Hey everyone, this is Sydney Shute from Victory Condition Gaming, and you're listening to the Victory Condition Gaming Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Victory Condition Gaming. My name is Doug. Today on the show, I am excited to host Tim and Kristen Devine from Dice Up Games. They have a Kickstarter hitting on September 12th. It's called the North Sea Epilogues. It's a RPG put out by Garfield Games, and I'm really excited about it, and I invited them on to talk all about it. Tim and Kristen, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me for a little bit.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I'm excited to talk all about this Kickstarter. And of course, my wonderful co-host with this session is the amazing and talented Amanda Call from ageofnight.com. Amanda, thanks for coming on and helping me with this this session.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about this game.
And you should be, because you actually got to play this game with Roll to Play a little while back, and because they have an episode of an actual play of this game that's hitting their podcast here probably during the Kickstarter. So I'm really excited to hear about what you have to say about this game as well. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Tim and Kristen first. You guys want to introduce yourselves and tell folks who you are, what you do, and maybe talk about how you got into gaming a little bit.
Sure. You want to go?
Yeah. So I didn't get into gaming. First, I'm Kristen Devine. Hi. I didn't get into tabletop gaming until I met Tim. I was a video gamer pretty much my whole life.
Nice.
And then when I met Tim, he introduced me to D&D, Star Wars, and the like. So I've been playing off and on for, I guess, 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and then about 3 years ago, we decided to kind of form Dice Up Games because we love to play and hack and design games so much. So, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And you guys have had some pretty notable hacks that have gotten some mention online. You want to tell us what those are?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we have a couple of hacks of a game by John Harper called his game is Lasers and Feelings, which is a one-page micro RPG that's basically like Star Trek but super rules light and zany. Mm-hmm. Because he released it through Creative Commons, people can hack it and re-release it with the proper attributions and all that. So we put out two hacks. One of them is Truth and Daring, which is sort of a Stranger Things, E.T., Goonies-inspired one-page RPG that lets you kind of just jump right in and start playing a fun game, usually like a one-shot. The other one is Wits and Chivalry, which is a Monty Python it's a Monty Python basically style game where you're playing medieval knights. It's very, very humorous and comedy focused. Mm-hmm. And Kristen came up with the brilliant idea, because Monty Python is so character swapping, where one small group of people play many, many roles within the show or within an episode or movie. And so the idea there is everybody is playing a knight, and you make your knight who's either more wits or more chivalry, and then you also make a companion, and the companions and knights are swapped. So half the group is going on one part of the adventure with the other group being companions, and then they swap for the other half. And it ends up being a tremendous amount of fun, because one of the mechanics encourages you to talk in an accent. So it's a...
Nice.
It makes for a very fun play. But those are the two hacks that we have on our site, diceupgames.com, for free, and you can hack. And they've also been translated to French.
Oh wow! Nice. Yeah, I knew that the online community really kind of got into your hacks. So it's pretty awesome to see folks get excited about certain things get created like that. Now let's talk a little bit about the North Sea Epilogues. This is like a big deal for you guys. This is exciting stuff.
It's very exciting.
This game is set in the North Sea games like universe. Is that correct? Garfield puts out. Let's talk a little bit about how did you start that collaboration with Garfield Games.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, we had been playing with our local group. We had a local group of friends that we connected with. That's a very large gaming group. So, we've had up to 10 people at the table playing role playing games, And games like traditional games like D&D just don't really support that large a group as well. And mm-hmm. all of those players came from that system. So what we did was Kristen and I designed our own system to allow for a much more streamlined play, but still get the same amount of story, if not more, for our table with that many people. So that's kind of where we started, was designing a system that worked for our group of players, and in a way, sort of like made it more story focused. So like a lighter rule system, less worrying about the mechanics and consulting books and tables, and more just play. And then nice. We had, so we started out playing like a Star Wars game. We hacked our own system to play a Vikings themed game. And for about a year and a half, maybe two, we were playing a Viking themed game that was very, very reminiscent of like, the History Channel TV series Vikings. So a little bit gritty, no fantasy, no magic and mythology to it other than the feel. So the tone had a little bit of mythology and people could bring that in, but it wasn't like you're fighting Valkyries and giants and dragons. So it was going really well. I mean, we've been playing it for so long, the same campaign, it was a lot of fun. And we had noticed, because we're big Viking fans, Shem's board game series by Garfield Games was just so beautiful, and it was already a trilogy at that point. He had released mm-hmm. The Explorers. We played it. It's just such a beautiful game, and I thought, wow, you know, like we could easily like try to put out an indie release of like our system and say, hey, this is Viking, but to be able to sort of have something that's already established that you can that people already love, but they didn't have mm-hmm. a role playing mm-hmm. game. You know, any element to it. So I thought, okay, well, just on a whim, we emailed him. we said what we were about, what we thought, and asked him if he'd ever thought about doing this and what we had done. And very quickly, he responded with, I'm interested. And so nice. It was one of those things, he's like, tell me more. And so we got really excited, probably a little too excited. And then, Shem was actually, he mentioned that he was like boarding a plane at that to one of the Essen Spiels, like where his games were nominated for a pretty prestigious award, and so we were like, okay, maybe we're in over our heads. Okay, but no, it ended up being a great collaboration. It was last July that we connected, so July 2017. Okay, so the game has been in development and in play and variations and testing for 3 years, and the wow. game. Collaboration with Shem has been for over a year now, and it's been fantastic.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Can you give us the North Sea Epilogues 2-minute sales pitch? Like, if you were to like just approach somebody and say, "Hey, if you're into RPGs, this is what this game is all about." Like, give us like everything that like you would like just have. I guess if you wanted to just sum it up in like 2 minutes, how would you sum up the North Sea Epilogues? I always tell folks this is like one of my standard questions that I always ask. Kent has his standard question, which I will ask later on, Kent from Role to Play Podcast.
Yeah.
So I've kind of stolen his question. This is my question. Like, give me the 2-minute sales pitch for your game.
Okay.
All right. Do you want me to go or do you want to go?
No, go ahead.
Oh,
man. I can add on.
All right. Well, I'm a terrible salesman, so already I'm tanking this pitch, but so I guess what I would say is that if you're familiar with the Garfield Games North Sea trilogy, so the Raiders of the North Sea, it started with Shipwrights, so Shipwrights of the North Sea, Raiders of the North Sea, and Explorers of the North Sea, and you're a fan of those games and you like that setting and the illustrations and the feeling that you get when you play it, and you want to do a more story focused game where you can sort of to get together, create characters, and play out a really neat story, whether it's a one shot or a campaign, you can do so using this game. So I guess the idea would be, you know, you've sailed the North Sea, you've raided the North Sea, you've explored the North Sea, now you can create your own heroes and forge your epic sagas together with your friends.
Nice. I like that. You're not a bad salesperson.
I agree.
Tim, I think that was awesome.
There my only go. Experience is like those guys that yell about, you know, Sham Wow and stuff. And so
you don't want to be that type of salesman.
No, we do not.
Get in a boat.
So Amanda, you actually get to play this, like I said, with Role to Play Podcast and Kent, and he had a session, I think, that he recorded about a week or so ago. What did you think of the game yourself?
I had a lot of fun with it. Of course, I've actually never played the board games that it's based on, but I am a big fan of Viking stories and lore and all of this kind of stuff. So I was already on board for that. But I was actually really impressed with how easy the game was to pick up and how it's right in that sweet spot as far as it's not so rules light that you can explain it in 2 seconds and it's barely even can be considered to have rules, but it's not super crunchy to where it's like, oh, my character sheet's 3 pages and I don't understand. It's like everything is right there. It's really easy and streamlined, but there is still a system to it. It's right in that perfect zone where you have a little bit of that crunch and you have some mechanics actually giving you some weight to what you're doing, but you're not bogged down in rules either.
Nice. Nice. Now, how easy do you think it is to create? Because some games, the character creation almost takes as long as your actual playtime. How is the character creation on this game? I guess I'll kind of just toss it out to everybody. And Amanda, feel free to back up the answer that Tim, or you can. You know, disagree with him if you'd like, but
right. Well, the way that we did it for the actual play was that Tim had sent us all a character survey, and we just filled out a few different questions on it, and then he did all the numbers part of it.
Okay.
So he'll have to explain what wizardry happened behind the curtain there.
He's trying to be on secret. He's trying to keep the 11 secrets.
Exactly.
Quiet, so you don't know how it all happens. So Tim and Kristen, how is the character creation in this game? Is this something that's going to take a half hour, an hour, or is it pretty easy?
It's pretty easy. I would say it's probably about 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
30 minutes, usually, if you're kind of creating your characters as a group. Our table tends to do that. We get together and we are collaborative and we talk about what we want to make and, what should I name my character? What should I put my skill points in?
Sure.
And so the social aspect sometimes can take a little bit longer, but the character sheet is extremely easy. It's one page. It's a great flow. So you can do it in about 20, 30 minutes easily.
Nice, nice. And actually, Garfield Games spoiled the character sheet on their Facebook page. Yep. So that was really awesome to look at. And if you haven't checked it out, go like their page on Facebook and check that out while you're there.
It's so elegant.
It is.
It's so elegant. I never spend any time looking at it going, I can't find what you want me to look at. I don't know where that number is. You can find it's very intuitive, very well put together.
Well, it's a very cool thing that came about with the collaboration with Shem. Shem is well over a decade seasoned game board game designer, and board game rules need to be concise, need to be visual, need to tell you the rules of a very complex, in some cases, game in a very visual and simple, compact way. And so together we sort of figured a nice layout for this where it kept the elements of the game, but also gave you what you needed to be able to navigate the sheet. So at no point during the game should players have to interrupt the flow of the game and the story to consult a book to see what they're supposed to do.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's almost like for some games, including this game, there's a GM screen where the GM has many different shortcuts in front of them and rules. This is like a miniature character cheat sheet on the page itself.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And then the way that the character sheet is designed is you have your story elements in one column, you have your mechanical elements or stat elements in one column, and then all your stuff in another. So it's story, stats, and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Because there's nothing worse than playing an RPG and then having to refer to, like, trying to find a stat or trying to find some sort of detail in a huge epic RPG book. Which my next question was going to be how big is this book that you have planned so far for the North Sea Epilogues? What's the page count going to approximately at this point?
We don't have a final page count yet, but the goal is to keep it under 200. I think we are at about 140 right now.
All right.
And that may increase slightly with stretch goals, with with content, with, you know, adventure hooks and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Awesome.
But under
awesome.
200 is the goal.
Yeah, and the vast majority of the book is going to be adventure prompts, stories, different things you can do with the game to help people. The rules occupy a very small portion of the book itself.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Would you say that this game is good for, you know, new RPG players or folks that are just starting out, or seasoned RPG players, or both? Does it kind of cater to everybody at this point?
Well, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I think it caters to everyone. But definitely, Shem had mentioned that he had never GM'd a game prior to this.
Nice.
At his first session, they were playing in 30 minutes.
Playing within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's great.
Yeah, really easy to learn, and so I have not actually GM'd this game yet, but Shem said that it was pretty easy to do, and we've had a few people blind play test it and say it's pretty easy to learn to GM. Actually, a couple people, it was also their first time GMing as well, so I can definitely say that it's a good game to start with if you're just learning to GM, and I think seasoned GMs will appreciate how easy it'll be just to pick up the rules and get going. So I'd say for both seasoned and new.
Yeah. A lot of the narrative in this game is shared. So whereas in some games, mm-hmm. a GM is responsible for really driving the story and crafting the results of outcomes of actions, and all these things are on one person. In this game, players are responsible for the narration of their own actions. So just it's not a roll, hit or miss. It's a roll, describe what happened.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It really frees up the narrative, frees up all the pressure on the GM to focus on framing scenes and where to go next, and not so much on what does everything look like. And it can create really neat stories that way, at least at our table it has, for sure.
So I know we're going to try to keep this under a half hour, but I'm going to we've got a couple really good Meeple Overboard is on the chat right now, and I've got to give them a shout out, and also they said North Sea Epilogues Shem Wow. love that. They also have a question for you, which is I love this. I love this question. If you hadn't been able to collaborate with Shem, was there a different theme or setting that you had in mind for this system?
Wow.
Excellent question.
Really good question, yeah.
Well, the system was originally designed to be system agnostic, setting agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we designed it because our friends have lots of interests. And so we like these shows or those movies, or, you know, some people like Game of Thrones, but then when the season's over, they pick up another show. And so what we liked was the idea that one system could be all that you needed to learn at your table. And then all you're doing is exaggerating this, about a 15 or 20 minute hack of the game turns it into something else. And so that's originally what it was for. And so when we got together with Shem and saw the potential for doing this, we stopped our focus of making it more broad and really honed in on this. I think that what really changed our focus to the North Sea Epilogues was making it fit their setting and their the feel of their board games.
Okay.
That was the main focus.
Yeah. But I think we tried, so to answer the question directly, we didn't have an idea yet, like one set idea. We were trying lots. We played a pirate setting. We played, one of our friends hacked it and played an Assassin's Creed setting that he GM'd.
Nice.
Someone did a horror setting that he GM'd. We did a Star Wars based game, although it's not really Star Wars. It's our own crazy version of it.
Sure.
So it has supported lots of different themes. And like Tim said, we kind of backed away from that when we partnered with Shem.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that's you're seeing some of those some RPGs that are coming out like that, where you can just pretty much, here's the rule set, plug mm-hmm. this in, plug this, you know, take this out, you know, for different settings and in different themes and whatnot. I think that's but that's awesome that you were able to kind of just build this one right around Shem's games. Okay. So this is the the standard Kent. This is my Kent question for you.
The Kent question.
This is going to be a standard with all of these interviews from now on. This is the standard Kent question from Roll to Play. Is this game built for campaign play or for one-shots?
Well, we actually talked about this on Meeple Overboard just the other night.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that interview is out today. So on iTunes, you can see that on Meeple Overboard. So I'm going to probably try to answer it the same way. So it's so the continuity is...
Well, it's the correct answer, so
it's
you're
the
fine.
It's the correct answer. It does both. It does both. I like to say it does both very well, but I'm biased. The reason why the reason why I would say it probably leans more towards campaign play is when people play it, at least at our table and in our experience, and from what I've heard about the other playtesters and people who have played it, players generally want to keep going, and so even if you plan a one shot, people really like the feel of their character and how they connect with the other characters. And because part of this game is that you're designing a Viking clan that all of the players are a part of, there's a camaraderie. So it's not you meet at a tavern and don't know each other. Now let's do, over the course of several episodes, let's form those bonds. There's a bond at the beginning. And so we've noticed that people want to keep playing. I actually wrote this game when I hacked it to be a one-shot to break up our Star Wars campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be, hey guys, Star Wars has been going for weeks and weeks and weeks. Vikings, the TV series just came out with their season. Let's play a one-shot of Vikings. And then, you know, 3.5 years later, we're still playing the same game. Or three years later.
Yeah.
So it does both. It has mechanics that would benefit a campaign-style play where you can have your, as you progress in the game, you heroes individually are earning reputation, which determines, or which sort of says how likely someone else might have heard of their exploits.
Mm-hmm.
That has some mechanical implications as well. And then also your clan, the group as a whole, are doing things to benefit themselves and their clan. And as the clan grows stronger, or the reputation increases, it grows stronger, more secure, and gets more trade partners, and allows you to explore further into the North Sea. So there are mechanics that support campaign play, but you could always just jump right in and say, hey guys, we have in between our D&D session, let's play one game of Vikings, and let's say we're already big-time heroes. Let's put crank the reputation up so that we're stronger to start, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
I would say both.
Excellent. So now if folks are watching this and you've sold them on the North Sea epilogues and they're like, all right, let me take a look at this Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the pledge levels are going to look like and how they're going to be structured for folks that would be interested in backing this project on Kickstarter on the 12th?
Yeah. So like you said, it's going to drop on the 12th. So there will be a PDF version available. We don't have a price point on that just yet. And then there'll be the book. Shem of Garfield Games has said that the book should be somewhere around $25.
Okay.
So very affordable. And then there's going to be a GM screen add-on.
Oh, nice.
As well,
okay.
As a Raiders of the North Sea playmat. The cool thing about that is that it is either an add-on, or if you are not really into RPGs, you can purchase that separately, or you can back that separately.
Okay.
And then there's some other stretch goals that'll be coming out. I think Shem described them as goodies.
Good, yeah.
But we're
goodies.
Not sharing those just yet.
Nice. No, absolutely.
We have adventure prompts and things from other writers. Really, really talented pool of people. We're very excited and so privileged to have been able to get the people on board. The book as it is gonna, as Shem put it, he wants it to be Kickstarter, like as is gonna be as good a quality as it can be. So there's not gonna be stretch goals to sort of make it a hardcover or to make it, you know, colored illustrations. It's gonna be, you know, the stretch goals are gonna be things that add more content to the book.
Exactly.
And value to the book instead of just making it nicer.
Yeah.
And then the book is gonna come with at least 6 adventure prompts by various authors out the gate, as well as a campaign structure outline that Kristen and I wrote ourselves. So it should be. We've looked at it quite a few times. It's beautiful. We're blown away every time we look at what Garfield sends over to us.
Yeah,
to look at.
I know that a lot of folks, you know, whenever you see a book, you always say don't judge a book by its cover. Of course, with the games that Garfield's put out, the artwork is amazing. And yes. So it's the same artist that's doing the RPG. I'm a guess. I'm yes. going to assume. Can we give that artist a mention? Because they do phenomenal work.
Yeah,
the Miko. I guess we should. I don't have his website. I should have had that. But
I'm sorry. I should have.
No, that's okay.
Well, yeah, we can share. We've been sharing a lot of his stuff, and he's on social media. But
nice.
Yeah, the Miko's amazing, and the book is going to have a lot of custom art. So art, mm-hmm. some
oh,
of the
nice.
Art from the game series is going to be in the book, sort of to give it that same kind of continuity and feel. But there's also new illustrations, such as the cover and several larger things that Garfield Games has been sharing, like the really nice green, the warriors coming through a green jungle with the Grey Wolf campaign teaser.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is in the book as kind of new illustrations, just for this, the epilogues.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, we mentioned that Role of Play is going to have an episode or two. Did they say whether or not it was going to be, Amanda, did Role... Can't say if it was going to be one episode or two for their actual play.
I don't remember whether we were doing that in one section or two.
Okay.
Well as far as how he's going to break it up, we played it in one session, but
sure.
Sometimes he breaks them up. So.
Well, I'm going to tell folks that if you are interested in any actual play of this game, go check out Role to Play podcast during the Kickstarter, because I know Kent will be launching at least one or two episodes of the North Sea Epilogues.
I think it's going to be a single bonus episode.
Is it a bonus episode?
Shot. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
And I think it's dropping the day of the Kickstarter on the 12th. But
wow. Kent, Kent's switching things up over there.
Yeah, Kent's
good
awesome.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. But if you are interested also in another actual play, we're actually going to be hosting an actual play on this channel the 18th of September at 9 p.m., so if you are interested in that, please, you know, subscribe and follow the channel, because we're really excited to have an actual play. And Tim, you're going to come back on and GM.
Yep. Yeah. I'm
and
really
Amanda, you're going to be you're going to get to Viking it all up again on our actual play.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
And we've got a few other exciting players that I'm just ecstatic to just announce as the Kickstarter is out there. We're going to make some player announcements as we're leading up to the actual play. So I'm really, really excited about that. So Tim and Kristen, thank you so much for coming on. Where can folks find you on social media or online if folks would like to know more about Dice Up Games?
Yes, you can find us at diceupgames.com or all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at diceupgames.
Yep. Excellent.
And I'll mention one other quick thing that we're going to be doing, Party of One podcast. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to drop, but sometime during the campaign, we think. So with Jeff Stormer, I ran him through the game with one player. So I GM'd the game, and he was a single player, and we determined that the game works with one player.
Oh, nice. Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's fun. And then also on the Modifier podcast, which is one of the One-Shot Network shows, with Megan Dornbrock. So we got to be on her show, so that was a wonderful treat. So that'll be out during the campaign as well, we think.
Make sure to check out Garfield.com, because you can check out all of Shem's games on there as well. And make sure to check out the Kickstarter on the 12th. I'm going to put, once it goes live, I will put the link to the Kickstarter in the description of this video. And we'll also put, all the social media links down there as well, and make sure to check those out. Amanda, where can folks find you online if folks would like to know more about Age of Night and Amanda Call in general?
So you can find my webcomic at ageofnight.com. You can find me on Twitter, the same thing, at Age of Night, and Instagram is Amanda Call Art.
Very cool. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we sign off? Divines, was there anything that I missed that that was not included in my notes. We're getting close to that 30-minute mark, and my wife didn't think that I could make it, and I'm really trying to prove her wrong.
We have to help you get there.
I know. I don't know if I want to help you get there or prolong this. Sure. No, I don't. I don't think there's anything else on our end. Just thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. It's been a really fun chatting with both of you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Tim, you've been on the show quite a bit. And Kristen, we're gonna have to have you on for an actual play at some point.
I know. Can I please come on your show?
Yes. You that's absolutely
why I'm here today.
Actually, that's the only reason why Tim's been on, because you know we want Kristen on the show to do some actual play.
Yeah. I understand.
You know. So, thank you guys so much for coming on. Much success on the 12th. I'm so excited to see that drop, and I can't wait to see it just explode on Kickstarter. Maybe you'll break Kickstarter online when that launches. That would be epic.
That would be epic.
I am pretty clumsy.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for me. My name is Doug. This has been Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time.